Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Wilco Radio, Bizarria County, Texas, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. Well, that's Muck and Fun Day. It's the 17th day of December 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 41 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 42 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And we got rain, it's going to rain. It's going to rain through the weekend, and it's going to start snowing. It's winter time and all that. Don't like it. Never did. Anyway, see what we're going to jump into here. Congress is trying to use the spending bill to criminalize boycotts of Israel and other countries. And we're certainly going to get into that in just a minute.
Oh, you're going to take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're going to let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, Congress is trying to use the spending bill to criminalize boycotts of Israel and other countries. This is from Information Clearinghouse. According to recent reports, congressional leaders from both sides of the aisle are planning to sneak a bill criminalizing politically motivated boycotts of Israel into the end of the year omnibus spending bill. So they shut down the government and all this big talk about all the, you know, securing the borders that are being overrun daily, in record numbers daily, is all a bunch of horse shit. And there will be another omnibus spending bill. Trillions. Maybe we can get another tax cut in there for the multi-zillionaires. They sure do need it. I know they do. It's Christmas time. They should get a Christmas present. The bill's original sponsor, Senator Cardin, Democrat, Maryland, is pushing Democratic leadership to include this bill, which has not moved forward thus far, primarily because it violates the First Amendment. I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, we've come to the point where, yeah, you know, it's not moving forward because it violates the First Amendment, but we're going to push this sucker through. You know, we're going to First Amendment. Well, why not? You violate every other amendment. I mean, you violate the whole body of law that belongs to the people. Why not the First Amendment, too? I mean, we shouldn't be able to speak illy of those parasitic, pedophilic, sick-minded, warmongering, well, I can't think of low enough, loathsome, worm sweat. No, that's too good for them. Those Israelis. Senator Minority Leader Chucky Shoema, oi. Democrat New York, and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat California, are reportedly leaning towards slipping the text into the spending bill, which needs to pass for the government to stay open. What's going to be the trade-off? What is going to, I mean, they play these games with this. you know, Trumpy, you know, he's pushing for $5 billion to build the wall that, well, Mexico was going to pay to build. But, oh, he said that when he did those negotiations down there where we're piping our natural gas down there to run their industry and this, well, phase two of NAFTA, just as it was written. And the games they play, the games they play with this, but they read nothing about them paying. Well, that's how they'll pay for the wall, by doing business with us, by us making them richer, by us shipping more of our industry down to Mexico. $16 an hour. Jobs, 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 people. The ACLU has long opposed the Israel Anti-Boycott Act, though it's multiple interactions because the bill would make it a crime to participate in political boycotts protected by the First Amendment. See, this is how it's become. You know, that is ratified law. That is the law of the land. It is treason to violate the first article of the People's Bill of Rights. It is an act of high treason, punishable by death, to violate the first. But hey, you're just a 14th Amendment subject, and you've agreed to be subject to the federal and state legislations. Whatever they want to write down on a piece of paper, that's what you do because you're a subject. And subjects have no rights. But then there's that damn Bill of Rights that just won't go away. Why won't it go away? Why can't they just, I mean, you know, but right here they're telling you it violates the First Amendment. We're going to do it. Why won't they just say, well, we're removing that Bill of Rights. You people are actually subjects under the 14th Amendment. We're a corporation, and you are corporate property, and you will do as you need to do what you're told, unless you want us to release, unleash the police state on you. Just be honest about it. Why won't they do that? I'll tell you why. Because that Bill of Rights is ratified law. It is law, 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 law. It's the only law left in this country that cannot be disputed. It is indisputable law. It is a body of law that cannot be changed. It was put together in such a way as that it could not be changed, that it was the common law that the people would live under in peace. And they just, but you know, just like I said, you know, they know this. This isn't no secret to them what they're doing, because they'll tell you, they're telling you right here. That it's going to violate the First Amendment. But wait a minute. The Ninth Article says that no power could ever exist to violate that First Amendment. Nothing. You could never. Conjuring from the Constitution, which is supposed to be the law of this land, the base law that cannot be breached in any way. Nothing in that Constitution, the most powerful document that the Bill of Rights was attached to, the People's Bill of Rights, the People's Law, the People's Authority was attached to, nothing. No authority can exist to write down anything or make any law or policy or whatever you want to call it that violates that absolute law. Yet, here we are. Once again, because the bill would make it a crime to participate in political boycotts protected by the First Amendment. Now, the bill's sponsors are attempting to avoid public scrutiny by including the bill's unconstitutional criminal penalties. Here they are again. But they'd use unconstitutional if they don't want to say that the B word. You know, the Bill of Rights. They don't want to see the Bill of Rights. It is a part of that Constitution for sure because it was added as amendments, but it was ratified as articles by every state. Every state agreed that this is the base law. This is the authority of the people. This is the self-government. But, I mean, just including the bill's unconstitutional criminal penalties, just right there in your face. And remember the people doing this. Think about the people doing this to you. Chucky Shoima. Can you imagine me? I'm halfway to 58. Can you imagine me and Chucky Schumer in the same room and him just coming up and telling me, say, Henry, I'm going to violate your rights. I mean, I would slap him with an open hand. He would hit the ground. He would pee all over himself. And Nancy Pelosi, well, she's peeing all over. She has to wear a diaper anyway. She's so fucking old. She pisses all over herself all day long. But imagine these culls, these nothings, standing up and telling you, well, that's going to violate the First Amendment. And it's unconstitutional criminal penalties. But we're doing this thing, okay? I would ask Aunt Nancy and I would ask Chucky, by what authority? You know, where we were taught as children, I was at least, at fourth grade, to challenge authority. I want to see your authority to do this. Well, I'm an elected senator. I want to see your authority to do this. I'm going to get out a piece of law here. It's called the Bill of Rights. And the ninth article to that Bill of Rights, which is the key, it is the keystone to the whole body of law, says that no power can exist that violates those rights, that gives an authority to violate those rights. So if it cannot exist under this ratified law, which is the base absolute law of this land, how could you possibly have the authority to even write this down, let alone think you can push it that this policy, this pro-Israel policy, and try to inflict it upon me as law? Well, you just can't. And the founders of this country, the true founders of this country, the kid with the pike that walked to Trenton and stabbed that goddamn German mercenary in the chest so that he could be free and not be subject to any king, I think he'd be insisting upon us hanging your ass for even suggesting that you just don't have the authority, and you're just going to say, well, we're going to do it anyway. Well, then I guess we're going to have to fucking shoot you. You leave us no choice. You are committing high treason. You are disobeying our law. You're telling us to shove our law up our ass, that you serve a higher purpose, a foreign king over in the Middle East named Benjamin Netanyahu, that you've kissed his ring, that you've pumped the wall. So now we just have to accept that you can write things down. See, it all comes down to that 14th Amendment, though, people. That's what needs to be understood. That's what needs to be spread out among our people. Force them into it. Say, read it. Just read it. Read it. Let's read it together. And when every person born in the United States and subject to the state and federal legislation, that is, they're writing down on pieces of paper and making laws, is a citizen of the United States and the state in which they live in. So that makes you a subject. Then we get that word separated for him. Subject. See, this makes you subject. A subject is subject. If I'm subject to anything, I am a subject. As a noun or as a verb. It equates to the same thing. If it's used as a verb, you know, you are subject to something. Well, I have to be a subject to be subject to something. You can explain this to anybody. A fourth grader should be able to understand it. And that, I mean, at that level of grammar. And then you get them, just set them down and say, don't get excited now. I don't want you to start, you know, jumping around and yelling conspiracy theory and tin hats. We're just going to sit down and look at these words. Subject. Well, so you look, then you get out the definition of the word. You say, well, I'll let you look it up so you don't think there's anything underhanded going on here. You look up the definition of subject. You're subject to another's will. You are not free of will. A subject does not have freeman rights. You do not have rights to anything. You are subject to your sovereign, that who is over you, that makes you subject, that whose authority, whose will you are subject to. And then you have them look up free man. Have them look up what a free man. Are you a free man? Are you a subject? Now, a subject, if the subject exists in the 14th Amendment, the Bill of Rights can exist, can it? Ask them, say, how can I have rights that are absolute unalienable rights ratified by all the states and amended into the Constitution, as the articles amended into the Constitution and ratified in 1791, how can I have these rights and be a subject? Well, you can't. It's an oxymoron. It cannot exist. You can't be a subject with absolute freeman rights. You just can't do it. Now, and then you ask them, which are you? Now, are you a subject or are you a freeman? And then you read the ninth article to them and say, then how, where did they get the authority to write this 14th Amendment, removing the Bill of Rights, which could never be removed because the ninth article forbids any authority to ever exist to remove the Bill of Rights, or to touch it, or change it, to deny, to disparage. If this cannot exist, then this has to be, what, it has to be a fraud, doesn't it? Are you a subject, or are you a free man, or free woman? At any rate, like I said, it's come to the point, you know, we've known what the attack is. We've known how the attack has been perpetrated. We know what the end desired result is. Complete servitude, like they wanted like when the people rose up in 1775 and, oh man, here come the delegations for each state elite decided that, well, we better join along with this. These guys ain't fucking around. They've done surrounded Boston. They shot the British out of Boston. I mean, there's a goddamn war going on. We better grab the opportunity here, because there ain't no way even this badass British army with all its technology is going to whip these American ragtag Americans in the goddamn wilderness where they were all born and grew up. They're not the Indian tribes that you could turn against each other. They're all pissed off because you think you're going to come and take what they created with their own hands. You threw them away as refuge. You sent them here as slaves and indentured servants. And they broke away from their indentured servitude. And they finally bred their way out of slavery. And how did they do this? By going into the wilderness where nobody else wanted to be. So they went into the wilderness and some Indians joined with the people, and the people joined with the Indians, but they cut them out of life. They cut them out of a place where nobody was, where they weren't subjects, where they were free people. You had to have your gun at hand. You had to be ready to defend that freedom at the drop of a hat if somebody come to take it from you. But they did it. You know, they did it. They went all the way with it. And that's the people who rose up. And so then the aristocrats, I mean, even when, like I said, when they went to the delegations, the state delegations, oh, we were still subjects. We were subjects of those same pricks, the king's men that were in the colonies, the same pricks that took, I mean, our bitch. Why did we go out there and shoot those bastards up? And then they added their own little bitches. Like, they wanted more people pumped into here so that they could, take the wealth of the land, which they didn't have. I guarantee you there was nobody at Lexington and Concord shooting it out with the British face to face because they wanted more immigrants into this land, more competition for the wealth that they had acquired. They were doing it for their freeman rights. What's written in that Bill of Rights, people? And now here we are. I mean, just as casual as you please. Talking unconstitutional criminal penalties. In must-pass legislation, you have to pass it because it's going to fund the military, the illegal military that's not supposed to exist. And I mean, we're killing people around the world to take their resources for our Jewish masters over there in Jerusalem now. Because we decide, the mighty giant have proclaimed that Jerusalem, which was under international control, let's think about it. The Bushes and the genocide they committed against the Iraqi people, the genocide that's being committed right now in Yemen, international law does not exist no more than national law exists. All you have is this blatant, in-your-face, empire-building tyranny being run out of a little piss hole in the Middle East that has you know, taken the power through deception. They're only 1.4% of the population of this country, and they're running the goddamn joint, people. And you're letting them do it. But, I mean, it's come to the point, like I said, that Bill of Rights has to go. There can be no New World Order as long as there is a Bill of Rights. There cannot be. The two cannot coexist on the same plane of existence. So, like I said, it's just every day it gets closer and they get more arrogant about it. Unconstitutional criminal penalties must pass legislation scheduled for a vote just days before Congress holiday recess, likely because it will be harder to pass in the new Congress. Earlier versions of the Israel Anti-Boycott Act would have made it a crime, possibly even subject to jail time, for American companies to participate in political boycotts aimed at Israel and its settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories when those boycotts were called for by international governmental organizations like United Nations. Well, you see, if we were under the Constitution for the little united biggest states of the Americas, they couldn't even talk about this stuff. They know that. It was the usurpation. It was the takeover. It was the creation of the District of Columbia, where they brought the admiralty jurisdiction onto land and just, they bluffed everybody is what they done. Well, we are with the government. Government, you work for me, right? I mean, I'm your master and you are my servant, correct? That's what, I mean, when they were selling us that Constitution, when they were sending it around to the states to be ratified in the days of the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, it was clearly understood that, well, you operate at the leave of we the people. We are not your subjects. But now we find out that then you can get that piece of paper out again. When you're arguing, if anybody wants to argue with you, just, this is easy beans. And out Title 20, I should have it up here what it is, but I have to dig for it. I'm not going to, but the Title 28. And say, what's it say right there? It says the United States is a corporation, a federal corporation. And then you say, you can do it, so you don't think there's nothing afoot here. You look up the word corporation. And then, remembering that this is supposed to be a republic with an emphasis on the rights of the individuals, I need you to look up republic. Compare the two. Is one the other? Are they synonymous in any way? They most certainly are not. So that means that the republic was removed and replaced by a corporation. But to do that, again, we come to that authority thing. Where did you get the authority to do that? In fact, you couldn't have that authority, could you? Because it was forbidden. That nasty old Bill of Rights. I'm telling you, people, they hate it. They hate it. They hate it. They hate it. It's been they didn't want it. If you people that have read the book, I think I seen Katie or Mary or one of, maybe it was Mary, that commented on the book. And so you can see in the beginning, what they wanted was the 14th Amendment. They wanted you to be their goddamn subjects. And they wanted to be the aristocracy that ruled America. And they have, in theory, accomplished that. It's the only thing standing between them and the reality of an aristocracy that rules the people is about a billion guns. And about 40 million people that just aren't going to allow it to happen. Now, they've said I think Glenn Beck, when he was on, he was the inside guy. He was tip of the spear kind of fellow, like old Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh, you know. But he was on Fox. And I remember watching a little segment he did saying, and he was talking about the New World Order and what they would be willing to do. How many Americans would they be willing to kill? And you remember, when they start killing, it's going to be in the name of stopping killing by guns, by confiscating the guns, because you've got to get the guns away from the people before you can sell them. How many would they be willing to kill? And it's 20 million. 20 million ain't enough, buddy. That still leaves another 20 million. And then, and when we are forced to do this, and we are going to be forced to do this, our number one goal has to be to regain control. The first thing we got to regain control of is the military apparatus end of the, with our nuclear arsenal. Once we have the nuclear arsenal back in the hands of the American nationals where it fucking belongs, because we bought and paid for it, it was for the defense of our country. So it was for the, well, like selling us that bill, that Constitution, even after they had already subverted the Constitution. It was, in back then in the 40s, 50s, and 60s when they were building the monster, it was for the protect, that's to protect your rights and your liberties. That's why that all these people, 50,000 men died in Vietnam. They see, that's why they were in Iraq. That's why they're in Afghanistan. They're over there protecting your rights and freedoms. But wait a minute. They're talking about removing the First Amendment. They say that what they've written down here on this piece of paper is unquestionably, well, they call it unconstitutional. But what it is an absolute violation of a ratified law known as the Bill of Rights. As a separate document standing alone, the Bill of Rights is the ruling document for this country. Plain and simple, that is the people. That is the people's authority. And we outnumber them about 10,000 to 1, but these little motherfuckers, man, they have no qualms. I mean, well, I'm sitting here reading this to you. Now, I'm going to say that by including a bill's unconstitutional, that's... They like using the Constitution thing because it separates the people from, well, what was it? Was it against executive or is it against judicial? No, it's against that other part, the part that empowers the bill, the Constitution to even work, the real Constitution, not this corporate, federal corporation, but the real Constitution, that which empowers it, the people. This is the people's law. This is the people's, this is what the people forbade to ever happen. And then as the people were the grantors of the authority, the people, because of the ninth article, could not even grant the authority for what you're suggesting here in this bill, Miss Pelosi and Mr. Schumer. You couldn't even, we can't do it. We don't have the authority. If we don't have the authority, we sure as hell could not have delegated that authority to you. Now, could we? We'll get back into it in a minute. We're at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Tonight, the sky is starlit and the time is right, and still you're telling me you have to go. Before you leave, there's something you should know. Yeah, something you should know, babe. I've seen you smiling in the summer sun. I've seen you long
it's meant to be. Someday, lady, you'll have come to me. Someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Where the rivers meet the sounding sea. You're high above me now, you're wild and free. Oh, but someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Someday, lady. But the warmth soon gone. You end up cold and lonely on your own. I'll take my chances, babe, I'll risk it all. I'll win your love or I'll take the fall. I've made my mind up, girl, it's meant to be. Someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Someday, lady, you'll accompany me. It's written down somewhere, it's got to be. I love me flying wild and free. Oh, but someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Someday, lady, you'll accompany me. Where the rivers meet the sound and sea. I feel it in my soul.
Listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Podcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 12:36 Pacific Time, and that was Bob Seger and Silver Bullet Band. You'll accompany me. And we're back to the treachery right in front of your face here. We're, you know, discussing where they think they have the authority is through this 14th Amendment that was illegally enacted. They think that, well, yeah, it's gonna violate your First Amendment, or article, they call it amendment, article. What belongs to the people are the articles that were attached to the Constitution as amendments, but they stand alone with the people as articles, as ratified by the people as articles, as a single body of law. That cannot be, it cannot be violated. With, you commit treason when you violate the Bill of Rights. There's no two ways about it. You knowingly, with malice and forethought, violate that Bill of Rights. You are committing high treason, and that's a punishable by death. But I mean, this is just how, you know, blasé it's become. Just, it's unconstitutional. Oh yeah, by my goodness. Earlier versions of the Israeli Boycott Act would have made it a crime, possibly even subject to jail time for American companies to participate in political boycotts aimed at Israel and its settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. Now, see, we're occupied Palestinian territories. They're calling it what it is. It's an occupation. You invaded this country and you killed its people and you drove them into the largest open air concentration camp in the president. They want a bigger one over here, but I mean, they still use the terminology occupied Palestinian territories when those boycotts were called for by international government organizations like the United Nations, which has absolutely no basis for existence in a world that was made up of sovereign countries. It was another con. It was just from the top, is a Zionist plot to remove the sovereignty of every nation and make it, you know, a one world government where the Zionist Jews rule and everybody else is an animal, a soulless animal. The same went for boycotts targeting any country that is friendly to the United States. If you just write her on out there, the United States Corporation that cannot exist, that is a running violation of the Bill of Rights, that is treachery of the highest degree, the United States Corporation that now claims the people as property. If the boycott was not sanctioned by the United States Federal Corporation. Last week, the ACLU, a communist organization that should not exist in this goddamn country because they operate, that they are the controlled opposition in the administrative admiralty that cannot exist on land in the United States according to the Bill of Rights, saw an updated version being considered for inclusion in the spending bill, though this text is not publicly available. While Hill office claimed the First Amendment concerns, now they have concerns about that First Amendment, have been resolved. Well, how do you resolve that? You remove, you pretend to, you write it down on a piece of paper that, you have the your First Amendment rights, well, this is how they'll go about it. Because they wrote it down on a piece of paper, that's constitutional. That's constitutional. It might be constitutional all over your goddamn corporate charter, but it is a direct and absolute violation of the ratified law, the law of this land known as the Bill of Rights. Been resolved, and political jail time has indeed been eliminated as a possible punishment. You can't even suggest that I can't say what I want to say, you sons of bitches. I mean, I was reading one the other day talking about yelling fire in a theater. That's how they started playing this game with us. No, I can yell fire in the fucking theater, even if it's full of people. If somebody gets hurt, I'm responsible. Make no mistake about it. If there's a stampede and somebody gets killed, that person's relative or that person that got injured, they can sure as hell take me into a common law court and go, that son of a bitch yelled fire in a theater and caused me to, but the goddamn government cannot make any prohibition. They have never had the authority. They will never have the authority because the Bill of Rights cannot be changed and it cannot be removed. The people can drop to their knees and agree to be corporate property, I suppose, if they're willing to do that. But that gets you over to that ditch where you get that 40 caliber hollow point in the back of your head, and exactly what you deserve if you allow it to happen. The bill actually does nothing to cure its free speech problem. See, it's got a free speech problem here because they're telling you you can't talk about a foreign state. Man, oh man, oh man, a foreign king I can't talk about, huh? Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, where my rights are absolute, they're called unalienable. They're born inside me. When I was a little baby, when I come out, I had my little bitty rights right inside me. And my parents, they nurtured those rights and they protected those rights up until I was able to understand those rights. And I take care of nurturing them and enforcing them and executing my life under them all by myself, because I know how and I know who I am and I know what my rights are and I know they're unalienable and that anything to the contrary can't exist. It has no authority. Furthermore, knowingly violating the bill could result in criminal financial penalties of up to $1 million, Were this legislation to pass, federal officials would have a new weapon at their disposal to chill and suppress speech that they found objectionable or politically unpopular. Just like, you know, they were talking about this morning on the Goofy Machine. They were talking about, you know, a port in Israel, that Israel's going to give a port over to China. And all America's not going to use that port if they do. I mean, this whole game that they're playing with us people. Politically unpopular, objectionable or politically unpopular speech. Consider, for example, if the United Nations advocated boycotting Saudi Arabia in response to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post journalist, or Russia in response to its alleged election interference around the world. That would mean American companies, small business owners, and even nonprofits, potentially some religious institutions, and people acting on their behalf in support of the boycott could be subject to criminal penalties. But then that has to be absolutely, I mean, there's this, when you're talking about the 14th Amendment, privileges and immunities, and you're talking about the Bill of Rights, absolute unalienable rights. That's apples and oranges that they're trying to mix them in there, you see. Say, yeah, we're going to do this legislation that you're going to be subject to because you are a subject to the corporation under the 14th Amendment. And it is going to violate the First Amendment, which is the first article of our separate law, the People's Law, the Bill of Rights. But, you know, we're going to do it because there's a compelling government, there's a compelling corporate interest, don't you see? That would mean American companies, small businesses, owners, and nonprofits, potentially some religious institutions and people acting on their behalf in support of the boycott could be subject to criminal penalties. Under the administrative admiralty as subjects, that which our people went to war for against the King of England back in 1775. And then, like I said, after the war had commenced in that year that the people were fighting without any kind of government at all because it was a people's uprising, they were uprising against the colonial governments that were the king's men. Well, then I guess that, you know, that, well, we're just subjects again. We've always been subjects because that's what they've always wanted. They wanted their, and they tell you. They talk every day about the ruling class. And if there's a ruling class, there has to be a class that's ruled. That's the subjects. But when you bring out the law, you have one document that is ratified law. The base law. It is a part of the founding of the country. It is the cornerstone for the republic that is supposed to exist, that we were guaranteed. Remember, it does say in that old constitution, you know, the one they replaced with their corporate charter, that we are guaranteed a republican form of government with an emphasis on the rights of the individual. So what this is coming down to is that, you know, they're going to tell you, yes, it is going to violate the First Amendment, and we violate every one of your, with the asset forfeiture, we violate the whole book. When you violate one right in the Bill of Rights, that's because it is a body of law, you violate the whole book. I mean, you violate it all. That's treason, straight up in your face treason. But, I mean, now it's got to the point where they're telling you, yeah. We're doing it. They're telling you it's unconstitutional. We're going to do that because we've resolved any questions about it amongst ourselves. And you have to obey it because, well, you're a subject. You can't challenge it. Where are you going to challenge it? In their courts? In their 14th Amendment courts where you go in as property? As a piece of property, are you going to challenge the person that owns you? Is the slave going to challenge the master? I don't think so. This full-scale attack on America's First Amendment freedoms, political boycotts, including boycotts of foreign countries, have paved a natural role in the nation's history. What? From the boycotts of British goods during the boycott of British goods during the American Revolution to Montgomery bus boycotts to the campaign to divest from apartheid South Africa. Oh, you mean we did this against the British? You know, that had us as subjects. We boycotted our sovereign. We went against the rule of our betters, our royalty. Did we do that? Boy, I bet they were mad about it, weren't they? But I bet we didn't give a shit because we decided that, you know, we're not going to be your subjects. We're going to be free people. NAACP versus Cowboy Hardware and the Supreme Court made clear that the First Amendment protects the right to participate in political boycotts. Well, this was all done pre-1868, I assure you. 1868, under the 14th Amendment, I guess they granted us a privilege of boycott or immunity from prosecution for boycotting those that they are in business with as a corporation, because we're operating under corporate charter now. We're not operating under the charter of a free nation, a free republic, a union. We're operating as a corporation, and we are corporate property. Members of the Congress who support this bill should take note of the fact that just this year, two federal courts blocked state laws seeking to suppress boycotts of Israel. Why don't you just keep plugging away at it? And I mean, if you see what the idea here is, getting it in your head. I mean, when they tell you something like this, that, well, those state courts, they blocked it because it's a violation of the Constitution. And you accept, well, yeah, we'll go right on. Yeah, court, Star Chamber Court, unelected judges. And then you say, yeah, right on. But then turn around. What you're doing is you're saying that they have any say in it at all. And they don't. None of these appointed corporate courts has any goddamn thing to say in the world about our Bill of Rights and our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly, our freedom of worship, our freedoms, period. Never have, never will. But your country's being run by unelected, well, corporate entities, isn't it? Or am I missing something here? Those laws, like many copycats around the country, required state contractors to certify that they are not participating in boycotts of Israel as a condition of doing business with the state. Well, of course, it's all incorporated. If you want to go get a license, you see, and play around the admiralty that isn't even supposed to be on land in this country, they can tell you. They can get you. They can tell you you can't do business here, you can't do business there, because we're the core of the corporation. We're the big corporation. You're just little corporations. You're subcontractors. And if you want a contract and you want to dip into the honeypot, you'll do as you're told, just like the churches when they joined under the 501c3. Yeah, you can engage in commerce, man. You can make, drive a limousine, man. You can build big old churches, man, and look real holy. But you got to do what we tell you. You don't do what the board of directors says. Well, hell, we'll cut that off. We'll remove your license unless you're somebody like Facebook or YouTube. When you're doing the bidding of the internationalists, and then there's just, well, there's nothing that can be done about them people. They're just too big to jail, too big to go against. That's all there is to it. They're just too big. I mean, these little organizations, I mean, and what makes them bigger than us? What makes them bigger than the entire population of the United States? Well, money, mammon, wealth, stolen wealth, our stolen wealth. I think people better start looking at these things a little differently. The courts agreed with the ACLU, well, I'm sure they did, that these anti-boycott laws violate America's First Amendment rights. Well, you have ACLU, you have... What you're doing is in a court that has no matter to the individual American national. Your decisions, everything it has nothing to do with us. It never has. You have no authority over us. Your unelected judges have no authority over us. As individuals, we go by that Bill of Rights. We can say anything we want to say about those dog shit eating goddamn Israelis. We can boycott them. We can curse them. We can do anything we want. You can say, well, under these laws, yeah, well, I'm not a corporation, buddy. I'm an individual free sovereign. And the Bill of Rights is absolute law. It is supreme, superior, untouchable law. So I can still say what I want to say. You might can tell these businesses, these people like, you know, like the farmers and ranchers just had a big farm bill that passed. A lot of goodies coming in the mail. Now they got to go along with you because they don't want to lose, their fair share of the stolen property from the rest of us, I guess you could say. But the property was never supposed to be in the hands of corporations. It was supposed to belong to the people. This is why Jefferson said we would wake up homeless on the continent that our forefathers conquered. And by genie, we're pretty damn close. A lot of people are living in tents as a homeless, and you know, that can trace their lineage right back to the beginning of this country, and it don't matter one little shit. Because people do not know who they are, and they do not know how to assert their rights. What the biggest part of accepting it all is that it comes down to you as an individual. You can't go and petition somebody to go enforce your rights for you. You got to do it yourself. You got to learn what those rights are. Where, and you got to learn how the whole body of the Bill of Rights works as a body of law, as the common law, and separates you from these lower people, these servant government things that are out there that have turned themselves into a corporation, which has made them all actually enemy combatants, because they're attempting to usurp and overthrow your Bill of Rights, the ratified law, ratified by all the states and agreed upon by all the states. This is the law. And it's not only that, it's natural law. That means that you're going against nature, because as a part of nature, when I'm born, like I said, I'm born with them little rights in me, and they get to be big rights, and I understand it all, and I'm protected, I'm free, I can own a lodial property, I can own gold. You can't tell me anything. You have no authority. And that was the argument in the Federalist, Anti-Federalist Papers, like we've gone over that 100 times. Also, we didn't need no Bill of Rights, because we could never have no authority over you with this little bit of power you're granting us. Now, could we? It is clear why congressional leaders fear an open debate on this legislation. I mean, I can't even go on with this anymore. Freedom of expression is rarely a popular policy, but that is no excuse for smuggling controversial new crimes into admitting it's a crime. You're going to smuggle a crime into this appropriations bill. If the First Amendment means anything, it's that the government cannot suppress political expression it doesn't like. Well, the government of the little United Big Ass States of America, they can't. What you have here is an occupation by usurpation. And what they did was, it was like a hostile takeover. A corporation went bankrupt, and so another corporation stepped in and formed a charter, removed the true constitution for the United States, and thought they could remove that Bill of Rights with it. The reason they couldn't remove the Bill of Rights with it was because the Bill of Rights was separate. It was put together as a body of law in articles. It was sent around the country to the different states as articles, and it was ratified by the people. By the people's representatives, what the people insisted upon. If we're going to have this constitution, it's going to be made clear that these people work for us, and their function will be to enhance our rights and to enforce our rights, not to disparage and deny our rights. That was made clear in the ninth article, but that is no excuse for smuggling controversial new crimes. They're telling you. Into a last-minute appropriations package. The First Amendment means anything, huh? Whatever their views on the Israel-Palestine conflict, members of Congress should oppose any effort. They're not our Congress. This is not our Congress. This is just a corporate board. That's what you get. You've got like three corporate, you've got two corporate boards, and then you have the true dictatorship, which is the unelected, that what they're calling the Supreme Court, that was, like we've told you before in the original Constitution, it was just to offer them the advice, not to violate those people. This, you don't do this right here. You're saying you want to do this. We're as legal experts telling you, don't do this, or one of them, American nationals, will drag your ass over there into the superior common law courts and take everything you have. But now what you got is if they say it, that's the law of the land. Even if it's in direct contradiction to the Bill of Rights. It's like, you know, the state, Supreme Courts, asset forfeiture is, it's constitutional. Like, might be constitutional all over the place with your corporate charter, but it sure as hell violates our Bill of Rights, which is a separate document. It was already ratified and agreed upon the people before it was ever put into the Constitution as amendments. It's the people's law, the people's authority. Messianic Jewish lobby groups build support for U.S.-funded ethnic cleansing plan in Palestine. This is from The Intercept. It was sent in by HD4 discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. A pro-Israel activist group is quietly pushing lawmakers on Capitol Hill and key officials in the White House to embrace a plan. See, they could get Capitol Hill and they use the White House. No, this is the corporate board. This is where the corporate boards meet. This is just like another fucking building. They have, you know, taken over the people's property because those buildings belong to us. We built them. They belong to the people. But as subjects now, and them being the corporation, well, no, they're their buildings and we're subjects, and they tell us we can't even come in those buildings if they want to because they're theirs. In fact, we're theirs. House to embrace a plan that would entail paying Palestinian residents in the West Bank to move abroad. The plan is a bid to reshape the ethnic and religious population of territories controlled by Israel. They just wanted a buffer now, damn it. This is, I mean, like the last article, this has all just become so blatant that nobody can deny this. Nobody can deny that. I mean, goddamn, if Trump and company, the corporation isn't the Israelis' bitch, I got to eat my hat right here, right now, because it is. This federal corporation is Israel's bitch, controlled by Israel 110%. Not as a colony, not like in that was in the old days, but it's the same principle. Because, I mean, like when the American colonies were here, it was all commerce. I mean, the Mayflower Compact, you know, the people that they brought over here, the people they brought as slaves, it was all part of commerce. It's always been commercial. And there's always been an aristocracy. And as long as there's an aristocracy and wealth and power determine the day, well, I mean, it's really, you know, it's always been this way. What they want back is what they had in the beginning of this country when they, you know, the people first were brought over here. I mean, again, then that throws a kind of a stick in the spokes of the idea that we came over here as invaders. We were forced. Most of the people were forced over here. They were brought over here as slaves and dumped here and said, you get to work tearing this place apart. Now, yeah, shoot those Indians while you're at it. That's why in a lot of the conflicts in the early days of the colonies and stuff, like between the Cherokee and they had white people that were actually joined with the Indian tribes and trying to fight these bastards because they wanted the slave population. And even up to the time of 1775, when it was clear the people were not going to be subjugated by the goddamn king, well, what's the first thing these fuckers did when they had their state delegations? Well, subjects. Well, you'll have a bill of immunities and privileges. Granted, but they straight up aristocracy. You're going to be a servant. And I'll tell you what, you sons of bitches have pushed it far. I mean, there's too much information out there. People understand. And man, to wake up in the morning and just, I mean, for myself, I can say, I wake up in the morning and I think of the idea of somebody thinking I'm your goddamn property. I will blow your fucking head right off your fucking arrogant shoulders and show you I'm not your property. I am your fucking executioner, you arrogant prick. And until, I mean, people are, I mean, you get frustrated. I get frustrated. I get really frustrated Because, I mean, things can only move along at a certain pace. But, goddamn, if they, you know, we told you it was going to be a bums rush when Trumpy got put into office. They were going to bum rush. They were heading, they were so far behind, and they were going to do it in a different way, but they were going to bum rush it, just like this shit here with Israel. The first, when they make the first law that says that, that you can't criticize Israel, I will be on here. I was, son of a bitch, Israel, piss on Israel, shit on Israel, Israel shit, Israel's full of parasites. I'll sit here the whole fucking hour and do it. I will do it. I will defy you because you have no authority over me. You piece of shit corporation. You have, that's all it is. It's my Walmart might as well be trying to tell me I'm going to do something. I knocked the piss out of one of them. You are not going to tell this free man anything. I will speak whatever comes into my mind. It is my absolute right, ratified law. And it's going to, and you're going to find out that when you go to push that 75%, see, you can do your little surveys and they can do their little goddamn polls and shit. And then go out there and say 90% of the people want to, they don't have a fucking idea, but they do. Because they do have each and every one of them. I mean, they have the people down into the communities, right in your own community. There's CIA, there's goddamn, they got pricks right down into watching everybody, watching everything we do. And they know what the deal is, man. They go, they just, you know, it's push up to this, oh shit, they're going to hit us, jump back away. Push up this, oh shit, they're going to get us, jump, but they're at the point to every time they start to take a step forward, we're standing there and say, nope, not one more step, you son of a bitch. Are you going to be eating some fucking lead? And it is our duty to one another to keep, you know, like I said, sitting down with people and just taking the simplest terms, the simplest parts of the 14th Amendment and the Bill of Rights, the Republic and a corporation, just right there and say, then what if it ain't what I say it is, then what the hell is it, friend? My intelligent friend who sees me as a conspiracy, is that a conspiracy theory? Is Title 28? It's written right there. They wrote it. It says right there, they're a corporation. Is that a conspiracy theory that I just made up? And I think, I'm paranoid. And we're there in that 14th Amendment where it says, I am subject to be subject to, you have to be a subject. We have to agree on that, correct? And this is what you have to keep pushing at people, because if anything, if they have any American blood left in them, any real American national blood left in them, the thought of being a subject, I mean, that's what our forefathers could not bear, that you can come and take what's mine isn't mine, and that you can, I live under another's will. That's why they would go out, and that's why that kid would get in that boat on Christmas Eve and get across the goddamn Delaware. March into Trenton with goddamn rags wrapped around his bloody feet with a pike in his hand and stick a fucking German mercenary in the chest. That's why he would do it, because that is the tenacity of a goddamn American. And our tenacity is still here. They show it, they're not going to publicize the revolution. We don't even know what's going on out there. We can't know, because the news is more censored every day. They keep it down to a little bit of bullshit, and you hear that same bullshit all day long. This is a great big old planet, and this is a great big old country, and there's a whole hell of a lot more going on out there. I think the more I see the censorship, like, you know, all we're going to talk about is the investigation of the Russia investigation and Comey, you know, he tested, I mean, just you hear it over and over for weeks, because they ain't got no good news for their buddies. They got nothing to push their agenda forward. They have tried to take another step. There's somebody standing there going, fucking, I'll kill you. Anyways, guys, we've passed the top of the hour. We'll be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, you know, just calmly. I mean, the people who want to argue with you, just get out the dictionary. And just, I mean, and just show them in no uncertain terms, this ain't me. You can read it yourself. Interpret it yourself. What's it say? You can take and interpret every word in that 14th Amendment. You can interpret all these words and you tell me what you are. Are you a subject? Are you a subject under the 14th Amendment? Or are you a free person with your natural rights under the Bill of Rights, the ratified law for this country, and the ninth article of which, read it to them, says they can never do this to you. That is The Word from the Trenches.